Welcome to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. Now, be prepared to be blessed as we hear a special word from Pastor Blakes.
According to the Bible in Acts 17, 26, it says, "And hath made of one blood all nations or peoples of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath the term he's made us all from what? One blood." So there's some inherent problems with a racist view. Number two, there's social impact. There's the social impact of racism. If it is allowed to fester, to grow, to remain without being addressed and dealt with, it creates some social difficulties. Number one, where there is racism running rampant, number one, social impact. Self-hatred in the less dominant group happens. In other words, if you're a white person and you're in a majority black situation, and that's a racist situation, if you're in it long enough, it begins to produce within you a self-hatred, a self-disdain, a self-dislike. This is what has happened with the Negro in America. The Negro has been subjugated by the pressures of racism so long that now he begins to believe the lie that he's less than the rest of the world. There's a self-hatred. This is why Negroes are killing one another in the streets of America every night. There's a self-hatred. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? You can give, they've done it within this new millennium. You can give a little black child white doll and the black doll, say, which one is prettier? The child immediately say, the white doll. Because the mindset has been conformed to the pressures. But you know, this was not, I wish I had time to just teach this. This was not by accident, this was by design. There was a brother by the name of Willie Lynch out of the West Indies, I believe it was, who came over to talk to the slave owners who were killing their slaves because the king in them would not allow them to just submit. They were rising up like kings and they were killing them as fast as they were buying them. And Willie Lynch says, "I have a system where we can put a mental shackle on the minds of the Negro. And we can set them at odds against one another." I'll teach y'all about that later. But theologically, the black man was mentally enslaved by the teaching, even in the church, that Cain, being cursed for killing his brother, therefore, watch this, that that Cain had upon him a curse for killing his brother. Therefore, he brought a curse upon all black people because Cain was black. But when you read the scripture in Genesis 4, 15, and 16, again, I wish I had the time. Look what the Bible says. "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now, we've taken that text, not we, but the church in general has taken that text to say, well, to be dark-skinned is to be cursed. But nowhere in the text does it say that the curse was the color of his skin. When you read the full context, it says that you won't be able to make the land work for you. Nowhere in the text does it say that this curse is going to pass from you to your to the next generations. This is not true because you have too many black figures in the scripture who were prominent and used by God. But the black man has been subjugated by the pressures of a racist system. And he has begun to believe the lie. One of the problems with racism is that it causes hatred in the less dominant, self-hatred in the less dominant group. Number two, it causes a fake or pseudo superiority in the dominant group. It makes you believe that I'm better than. And that doesn't only happen white to black, it happens black to white. It happens Hispanic to white, Hispanic to black, black to Hispanic. Whenever you in the game, the pride within you makes you believe that you're better than the person that you're trying to. Y'all quiet on me there. Galatians 6 and 3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. This was the beauty of Dr. King. Dr. King, as opposed to some of the other figures, leaders in the black community during the 50s and 60s who wanted to raise up an opposing black supremacy to an established white supremacy, Dr. King says we need to pull out all supremacy and understand that all of us are created equal. We either all go together or none of us arrive. So it creates within the dominant group a false sense of superiority. The third social impact is that not only does it make the least dominant develop a self-hatred, the dominant group develop false superiority, there's lost value in the human experience. Life is designed to be a multicultural team sport. All persuasions, hues, and traditions make up one humanity. When we allow racist views to separate us, we miss the deposit of other members of the team. What would a football team be if it didn't have a good wide receiver? How far would a quarterback go if he didn't have a good running back? Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. You can have the best quarterback in the world, but if he don't have a receiver with good hands, what are his stats going to look like? If you have, you can have Barry Sanders, but if he don't have a line, how long is he going to last? When we begin to separate ourselves based on racism, we lose the value of the whole human experience. And then number four, God frowns on racism individually and systematically. God's favor is turned from a personal people who operate from a racist platform. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam, this is Moses' sister, who had racist views about his black wife. Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And the first thing Aaron said, don't let it happen to me. God punished Miriam for her racism. I believe that America is being judged for her racism. We have developed these pockets and systems of racism, and the church is saying absolutely nothing. Now let me shut this thing down. Last leg of this, the biblical cure for racism. Racism is the product, again, of satanic influence over the flesh nature of insecure men desiring lordship over others. And you know that's not going to work, because when you go back to Genesis, God said, dominate this, dominate that, dominate everything. He never told man to dominate man. From there, it is purely, watch this, racism is purely social conditioning of generations of people. We learn racism. We learn racism. I was talking, let me not go there. The problem starts with Satan and can only be resolved or remedied with God. Romans 12 and 2 and 3, Romans chapter 12 verses 2 and 3 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That means the renovation of your mind, pulling out the stuff that shouldn't be and putting in the new stuff that should be. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He says, don't be conformed. That's what happens. Men are conformed to racist views because that is the position of their particular group. We're not born racist. We are conditioned to conform to the pressures of our group. Now, there's a biblical record of the Apostle Peter, and I will not go into that. This is really about a three-part teaching. There's a biblical record of the Apostle Peter, watch this, being forced to confront his prejudice as a Jew against Gentiles. See, he was always taught that Gentiles, or non-Jews, in other words, were unclean and less than we Jews. And then he's given the assignment, he's given stewardship of the gospel, and the gospel message demanded that he reconcile his views because it was not God's position. God put him in a position to have a face-to-face encounter. And if you go to Acts chapter 10, I won't read it, but I'll just give you the gist of it. Peter is up on a house, he's sleeping, he has this vision of this sheet with all these various kinds of beasts and animals and stuff on it that the Jews would call unclean. And in the vision, he hears the voice say, rise up, Peter, slay and eat. He says, I won't eat that which is not clean. And then God says to him, don't call anything I made unclean. And he instantly got the revelation that God was challenging him about his racist and prejudiced views about Gentiles. And there are three things that you will find when you read the full context of that story relative to Peter. Number one, it started, God made Peter, number one, three things happened. Number one, God made Peter personally conscious of his error. And I believe with all of my heart, whenever we have racist views, somewhere in our own conscience, there's somebody saying, that's not right. Racism is birth in group thinking. And most of us in this room today refuse to think outside of the will of our group. He had a personally conscious encounter. Number two, God made Peter commune. God says to him, now after he has this revelation, God says to him, now go to the Gentiles. Number two, God made Peter commune with the people he was prejudiced towards. See, because it's important to commune with the people that you've had to issue with. Once you have the conscious experience, then you have to commune with the people that you've had to issue with. Watch this, because racism is perpetuated because of a lack of exposure. I was, I think maybe a junior in high school when I first went to a school that wasn't predominantly black. Yeah, Dad moved us out into the suburbs and everything. And I went to this school that was, I guess it had to be 95 or more white, you know, percentage-wise. And so now I'm the minority. And, man, all the stuff I had ever heard about white folks, when I got to live among them and be with them and see, because I lived in the neighborhood of white folks, I was riding the school bus, I was the only... I was only on the integrated bus. Because the other black kids were bussed in from a black area, and I was the only one actually living in the neighborhood. So, we go riding down veterans, the black kids on their bus, and they looking at me, popping their gum. And I'm sitting there, and I'm the only black kid with all these white kids, you know, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, but hallelujah. But I learned some things about white folk that I didn't know and would not have learned had I not experienced. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I learned that some white boys can jump. And some of them can dance. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? But I would not have known that had I not been what? Exposed. You have to commune intentionally. Number three, and then I'm done. God finally, after Peter goes to the Gentiles, read it, it's a wonderful story. God then sends Peter back to his own people to confront them about their views. He number one, he was conscious. Number two, he communed. And then thirdly, he went back and confronted his own people. He broke from the group and he stood with God. To break down racism will always require one that is brave enough to speak. I want you to just join hands. I'm done. Just join hands with the person next to you. Father, as we have assembled together today with the intent, Father, of reconciling and coming together, God, I know that there are all kinds of thoughts and emotions going on in this room today, and some are even repenting inwardly. Some feel guilty about things said, things done, thoughts. And God, some are even struggling with what they've been taught by their parents and other leaders in their particular community. But now, Father, I ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit to move in this room and to let the anointing of your Holy Spirit bind us together. And God, we're not naive enough to believe that once we leave here just with this encounter that all of us are going to be miraculously changed. But God, we thank you that you will at least begin the process in us today, the process of transformation. God, I thank you that the seeds of mind renewal were planted in this room today. And I thank you for watering these seeds, God, with designed encounters and experiences that will further build on the truth in our lives. Bind us together, Father. Make us understand that we're one people of one blood. Teach us how to love one another. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, let everyone say amen.
Thank you for listening to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. You can write us or send a prayer request to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, P.O. Box 571083, Houston, Texas, 77257. Be sure to mention that you heard us on the podcast. You may also call us at 713-991-1302. If you live in the Houston or New Orleans areas, or if you're just visiting, we invite you to come join us at one of our powerful, family-oriented services where we are building a future for you. Our Houston location is 4805 Schermeyer Street in Houston, Texas. In New Orleans, we're at 13800 Hayne Boulevard in East New Orleans, Louisiana. For service times, directions, or more information about our ministry, call 713-991-1302. In the New Orleans area, call 504-244-6968. Our email is rc@comehometonewhome.org. And be sure to visit our website at www.comehometonewhome.org. Remember, you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you.